From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. Beginning tomorrow, Sacramento hosts its first ever Farm Tank Summit. This is a gathering of people from across the country who are connected to food and agriculture. And the conference comes in the midst of the city's month-long Farm to Fork celebration, which you're already hearing a lot about. Two of the many speakers, though, tomorrow are joining us. In the studio is Michael Dimmock. He is president of Roots of Change, which organizes food movements in California, including the slow food movement. Michael, glad to have you here.
Morning.
And on the phone with us is Nicolette Hahn Nyman. She is a rancher, an author, a lawyer. She and her husband, Bill Nyman, founded Nyman Ranch, producing natural beef. She's joining us by phone. And Nicolette, I'm glad to have you back on Insight again with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So a key question of this conference is, how can food systems in California become more environmentally sustainable? And Nicolette, this is a question about food systems, but to what degree do you think it's about the quality of food, the food itself?
Well, there has been a lot of, attention to the safety of food. For example, whether there's antibiotic residue in the food. A lot of people are concerned about genetically modified food, that sort of thing. But I don't think the quality has been that much a part of the dialogue. I mean, my own feeling is that when food is raised well, it produces better eating quality food. It also produces healthier, more nutrient-dense food and safer food. But I don't think that's been so much the focus. It's really much more, I think, in general, people are concerned specifically safety, and they're concerned about environmental impacts, resource use, et cetera. And those are important issues as well. But I do think the quality of the eating quality is a very important question.
Then what direction do we need to look? And when I say we, I mean that in a general public sense, Michael, in terms of better producing, more environmentally wiser producing our food?
Mm-hmm. The challenge is that the price of food in the United States and globally even is in a sense not high enough to cover the cost to do food in a really environmentally sensitive, socially conscious way. So farmers are in a bit of a vice where they're being asked to protect soil and water and air, our health, and yet they have to deal with world prices. So California producers are in a real bind because we have the highest standards around the environment and labor now with the recent legislation passed around farm worker wages. So the challenge is, how can society, how can the public become a partner with the farmers in achieving these larger social goals? That is really the focus, I think.
What the farmer needs then is incentives for nutrition beyond economy, correct?
Yes, nutrition. What we would say is health and resilience. So that includes nutrition, but it also includes activities that allow farms to deal with climate change and many kind of ecological perturbations that we see coming due to the large numbers of people in the world now.
Nicolette, which would you say is more important in terms of incentives? Policy that supports the financial background of farming, or the consumer that decides he or she just wants healthier food and changes buying habits?
Well, I think both are extremely important, but as far as what has really been having the impact and what I think can really quickly have even more impact is the consumer. And mostly we've seen dramatic changes over the last decade in the food system driven by consumers seeking to know more about their food. Obviously, the organic movement has been really strong. That's totally consumer-driven. And this whole question of genetically modified organisms, again, that's really totally coming from consumers. And the policy has really been lagging behind. So we have California, and Michael has done amazing work, especially in California, on this, getting policy moving in the right direction. But I think the real driver right now is consumers asking the question, where is this from? How is this produced? I want to have something that's delicious and is safe for my family. So I'm the most optimistic in terms of what can really drive change quickly, by looking at consumers.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I was in a meeting last week with lots of farmers and representatives of farmers talking about this exact issue. I think the concern is that there's not enough faith on the part of farmers that there's enough uptake from consumers who are willing to spend the amount of money required for them to do the work they need to do. Because organic I agree. It's a beautiful example of how markets can change and what's happening with the fast food restaurants because of people demanding to eliminate antibiotics, things like that. Those campaigns are very important because they're shifting the focus. They're awakening people. They're moving corporate executives to make new decisions. The challenge is it's still a very small segment of the marketplace.
Yeah.
So how can we actually expect to get all the farms in the United States moving in this direction based on consumer demand? I don't think the farmers believe that's possible. I don't really believe that's possible at this point because the problems are so large related to climate, water, health.
Right.
We actually have to make massive accelerated transformation, and I don't think the market alone can do it.
I agree with what Michael just said. To get us to the next level, we have to get policy that's going to really support these kind of changes.
The two of you have worked together, and Nicolette, your BN Ranch interacts with a variety of groups like Roots of Change.
Yep.
Can you take this down to a specific example for me? A policy or practice that was changed or that a group like Michael's has been able to work with you on that in the end makes a difference for the consumer?
Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about that's happening right now that Roots of Change and other groups have worked on is really focusing on the soils and looking at soil as kind of the beginning and the most important, you know, sort of source of food that's both healthy and is environmentally sound. And there's a lot that's very exciting stuff happening in California specifically that's going to be enabling farmers to look at getting more, you know, more biological activity in the soils, which means more microorganisms, more diversity of microorganisms, more carbon stored in the soil. And so that to me is a really concrete example of something that's happening that will benefit a lot of farmers and ranchers around the country.
I agree.
The state especially.
I agree. And Community Alliance with Family Farmers and the California Climate Agriculture Network really were the leaders in that fight because they understood what the farmers need and what the public is calling for. And the great news is the legislators and the governor said yes. And what they did is they committed $7.5 million over the next couple of years to generate models of what will get farmers to really focus on their soil.
That is Michael Dimmock. He is president of the nonprofit Roots of Change. He is the closing speaker for day one of Sacramento's first ever Farm Tank Summit, which happens tomorrow and Friday at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. On the phone with us is Nicolette Hahn-Nyman. She's author of the books Defending Beef and Righteous Pork Chop. I love that title, by the way. She's on a panel tomorrow discussing sustainable protein. I like that this conversation is moving from what we might call industrial terms into social terms. And how does that change how we might look at the food and how it's produced, Michael?
Well, I think the exciting thing is food is now a social movement. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been that way probably since the 1930s during the Great Depression when people really thought about farms and farm policy and tried to make the country a better place for farmers and for food access. We're in that moment now, and it's very important. Millennials, all the data shows they're really committed to good food, healthy food. They care about the environment. They care about workers. So we're in a period of massive change over the next few years. And so the question becomes, how do we create a policy framework that accelerates the adoption of the kinds of practices that are needed to make a healthy and resilient food system? And so you're going to see more and more of it over the next 10 years probably, focus on policy, building movements, companies transforming, the media continuing to deeper stories like you're doing today. I mean, it's just going to be more and more of it, and it's very exciting, and it's very positive for our future because the food system is a major, probably the largest impact on the environment and on our health of any activity of humans.
Nicolette, it's one thing to have this conversation regarding smaller farms or even the arena in that medium size that your family is involved in. But what about high volume production and approaching food in a social manner as opposed to just that process of industry?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I am a great believer that as important as us smaller operators are, we have to have change from the big entities as well. And what Michael was just saying is also true. It's really true that we're beginning to see the conversation taking place in you know, from large corporations. And I believe that's really positive. I mean, there are a lot of people in the food movement who just think we have to just, you know, tear everything down, start from scratch. And that's tempting to view it that way because there's so much wrong with some, you know, sort of predominant way of producing food. But there's a tremendous amount happening from the largest corporations in food right now as well, as far as looking at animal welfare issues, looking at pharmaceutical use, looking at soil health. And I find that incredibly hopeful because I don't think any of those large corporations are going to totally disappear. And so we need to see movement at all elements, you know, all levels. What we're doing, what my husband and I have been doing for a long time, is trying to gather smaller and medium-sized farmers together. And that's what BN Ranch is, and that's what Nyman Ranch is. And so I think there are lots of different models that can get us to, you know, a food system that's much healthier and is going to provide healthy food for people. So there are lots of different, you know, things that need to be done at all different levels. And the good news is that really there is a tremendous amount happening in this arena.
So, Michael, one more question. It's one thing to talk about this in California where there's a mindset and a language for it. How much is this moving outside of California and wrap into that whole slow food movement?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that it's not just concentrated in California. It's very exciting to see that there are many nodes of new thinking and new practices throughout the Midwest. The East Coast, Vermont is a leader, like California is a leader. New York is doing some really exciting things. So Michigan, Mississippi, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, there are activities around the things that we're talking about happening everywhere. And it's not just in the United States. I mean, the slow food movement emerged from Europe, right, in the 1980s and took off here in the United States really in the mid-90s and was one of the early framers of the concepts that are now being taken up. So the slow food movement is huge in Europe. It exists here, but it's not just the slow food movement in the United States. It's a multitude of many different streams that make this giant river, which is the food movement.
Well, Nicolette gave an example. Even though their family farms cattle, she's concerned about soil.
So, yes, right, exactly.
So the soil is where the feed grows that right. goes to the beef, that goes to the person, right, Nicolette?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because this whole question about the health of the soil and especially the microbiology of the soil, the right. little tiny organisms that we can't even see with our naked eye, are turning out to be more and more important in our understanding of not just the health of the soil and those organisms that live in it, but the vegetation that grows from it, and then the animals that graze it. And that's true when you grow crops as well. And so the food that we eat, you know, humans directly eat, also needs to be grown in healthful soils, or it's actually lacking nutrients. And this, there's a tremendous amount of research documenting this now. So turning the attention back to the soil health addresses so many issues. And really interestingly, I've learned just in the last couple of years that you don't have to use nearly as many pesticides and herbicides and fungicides and so forth when you have healthful soils, because the plant is able to resist diseases and pests. It's a fascinating field of study, and it's really become kind of, I think, almost the dominant question in food production nowadays, and I think that's a really exciting development. Michael and I are sounding like we're so excited about all this stuff, but it really is.
Yeah,
it really is a time of a lot of optimism and a lot of really exciting things happening in the food movement. So even though there are enormous challenges, I think you're hearing a lot of optimism from us because there's so much exciting research and policy and all kinds of other things that are moving things in the right direction.
Well, you've given us a great preview for what the next 2 days are in Sacramento. Yeah. So, Nicolette, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That is Nicolette Hahn-Nyman, author, lawyer, and rancher, and in the studio, Michael Dimmock, president of the nonprofit Roots of Change. Michael, glad you are here as well.
A pleasure.
Thanks very much. Both are in Sacramento for the city's first Farm Tank Summit. I'll add that my colleague, Julia Mitrich, and I are moderating two of the panels over the next 2 days. We will post a link to more information about the conference. You can check our website, capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. Coming up, we're going to talk about nuclear energy.